this evening, a warning to all Hutton pilots that it is absolutely worth doing your research before attempting to show off, or teach, or spend some considerable time attempting something while someone else is watching. Commander Vantian, ever helpful, or so he tells us, received an incoming message from a certain Commander Watson, asking for a little assistance. It turns out that in an effort to be properly macho, Watson had been spending the last few years in the galaxy point-blank refusing to engineer anything on his ships. He hadn't spent sulfur on his long-range coffee machine, he hadn't gone and got a pile of composite materials to upgrade his comfy chair, and most definitely hadn't got more pew-pew in his pew for when his pew-pew was on the cards. So, our very own Vantian stepped up, fired up his onboard computer, and offered to show Watson the ropes. Most of which entailed getting invitations to visit the various engineers in the galaxy. The first couple were simple. Drop a bit of cash. The workshop opened. Then it came to Liz Ryder, distant great-granddaughter of a certain person mentioned in the Dark Wheel. And for some reason, she's taken up as best buddies with the local mafia outfit. The Eurybia Blue Mafia, who, of course, won't let you talk to Liz unless you're at least on speaking terms with them. Aha, said Vantian, sounding rather like Cecil at this point. Easy, let's just grab a few bounties. This was his first mistake. As the Mafia own the system, it's an anarchy, which means they don't care whether you're naughty or not, and indeed take pride in the lawless tag in their res sites. Having flown his carrier back some 2,000 light-years for the mission, and not one to waste the opportunity, Mr. 21 told Watson to stay put while he blew up a few ne'er-do-wells. Well, they might have been. I mean, after all, they were in an anarchy. And encouraged some limpet to material action to stop off the engineering tanks. Okay, let's head out on foot for a laugh. Bound to be some missions. And at Flurble Flurble, the oddly named station in that system, they were indeed asking for a little help, targeting a rival gang from a nearby system. Quick hop in a crate to the system next door, pop open the points of interest list, and realise that there was only one settlement owned by the rival faction. Not a big problem. Only needed to apply some percussive augments to 10 of the mafia there. Should be simple. On approach, this is where Vantian should have noticed something was a little off, it was on the dark side of the moon. And it was very dark. Lit up nicely when docking permission was granted, and the two of them hopped out on foot. Did you see which way the settlement was from the pad? Well, this should have been a hint. Night vision on, the sight of a tower over the brow of the landing pad was enough to send the two of them scurrying into town, eager for discussions with the local mafia. It turns out that they'd scarpered, the lot of them. That ship which was heading for orbit as they arrived, yes, that contained the entire Mafia gang. Knock knock on the command center door, no one home. A quick chop chop with the arc cutter on the habitation section. Stony silence. Not wanting to waste his time, 21 came up with a cunning plan. Let's power it up. That's bound to attract some attention. So, a quick moon hop back to the ship for a power regulator, another go with the arc cutter, and a quick zap with the energy link, and bingo! One power regulator in its housing. It's not turning on. Oh, bother. Back in a second. One e-breach later, and the base is powered up, glowing nicely, and the two of them perched on top of a nearby tower, awaiting the arrival of the Mafia. Won't know what hit them. But still, nothing. Aha, 21 said, getting more Cecil-like by the minute, and shot a nearby turret, which set the alarms off. But it's clearly not the kind of alarm that anyone pays any attention to. It just plays the Awooga waltz really loudly, to no one in particular. So, the two of them trudged back to the ship, fired up their console, and checked on the local Mafia group. A note popped up on their screen. Sorry, Left the oven on. Back next week. Lots of love. Don gone. P.S. Don't worry about the message saying bust. It's a cash flow thing. So, Watson was sent back to do courier deliveries until Liz was kind enough to talk to him, and 21 was sent back to school to learn to check out missions before accepting them. Oh, and he's now wanted by the Blue Mafia, which explains why he's hiding this week.
Here at Hutton, we're very aware that many of you tune into the news with only half an ear. Probably like chicks, while delivering mugs, or gin, or beam laser coloured retribution, or Grelix. Which probably explains what happened at the Orbital this week. It quickly became apparent to Leia Wolf that something had gone badly wrong with communications when the first dolphin arrived on Friday morning at Hutton. What, or more accurately, who, stepped off the dolphin was accompanied by the smell of lavender, soap, the click-clack of knitting needles, and a lot of blue rinse. A shipload of nanas, grannies, ladies of an older persuasion. According to the noisy, bustling one at the front of the group, they'd been invited, and they were needed. Not a problem, said the arrivals desk, and put them up in some of the comfier rooms available at the Orbital. Next, a Type 6 loaded to the brim with plastic weaponry of all sorts. The kind that needed vigorous arm action to pump up to the required pressure, and an assortment of foam darts for the attention of Haxwing was stamped on the outside. Unsure whether they were actually dangerous or not, cargo handlers moved the crates to a nearby warehouse. Then there was a boatload of bananas. This one was easy. As everyone knows, the apology officer uses them to measure things. Given how many there were, there must have been either a lot of things needing measured or something really big, judging by the quantity, probably the size of a capital ship. Given that the incoming warehouse wasn't climate controlled, scrap frame shift drives for making mugs being best kept as close to absolute zero as possible, they put them in with the nanas. Finally, was a shipment of pans. Once again, the enterprising cargo handlers knew exactly what to do with these, clearly for Flossie. The only problem was, on opening the box, which was suspiciously small, the pans were tiny. Nanopans. Teeny little mini nanopans. But, not being judgmental or inquisitive sorts, they sent them to Flossie's quarters as they were clearly important Hutton business. It was only when Leo started reviewing exactly why there was a group of older ladies insisting on having the crust cut off their tuna and cucumber sandwiches, the smell of overripe bananas wafting through the station, the ladies had turned the heating up, and the kitchen team complaining that the pans were no good for fried breakfast even if you were from mini Glasgow, that she put two and two together. An update edict has been issued. All commanders preparing for Tilt a Titan early next week, would you please report to Nurse Wyeth to have eye tests and your ears washed out? Further to last week's instructions from Commander Flossie, Haxwing are to be equipped with nanites and soft anti-Titan munitions. I nearly said musicians. Any jokers found bringing nanas, nanas, Nerf guns, or nanopans to the Orbital will be sent to the Naughty Step, which this week will be located in the vicinity of the Thargoid Warfront. Anyone found attempting to transport anyone's granny to the front, to the Warfront, will get a very stern look.
Week 81 of Too Hot, Too Messy saw commanders collectively pass 121,000 deliveries. Numbers were slightly down, but still above 1,000 deliveries in the week, and this was enough for the four-week average to rise to a notch crotchet above 1,000 for the first time in a month. Grandpa, what did you do in Too Hot, Too Messy? Congratulations go to Commander Nemb, who became the third commander to pass 10,000 deliveries. It's about time you gave that good-for-nothing Ed Hunter a kick in the flight seat and told him to get some mugs delivered. Well, you should be able to get a parking space since it looks like as though no one has made a Hutton run in the last 7 days. Bring Freddos, nuclear fuel, toilet paper and a pint of milk, will you?
Far be it from us here at Hutton to indulge in wild speculation, more than 3 weeks in a row. But luckily, in terms of this particular article, it's only been a couple of weeks so far. As part of the joint investigation by Hutton Orbital and the Galnet News Digest, we've been digging into the ongoing crisis over in Rhea. With the news in recent days that the inauguration of President Winters has been indefinitely postponed, we've been asking the question, is there more behind the postponement than an unfortunate disaster on an epic scale? So I went to investigate. I'm now here at Federation HQ over in Sol System, and it's a bit chaotic. All of the functionaries arriving to assist President Winters have been told they can't unpack their boxes, as the previous residents haven't packed theirs yet, as the inauguration is off. I have, however, found someone to ask. Hello, you're with the Hudson Bureau. Mind if I ask you a few questions?
Who let you in here?
Press pass, Hutton Orbital. Is it true that Hudson's government has benefited from the delay in incoming President Winter's inauguration?
Not at all. President Hudson stands ready to support his colleagues at this difficult time and will, out of a sense of duty, carry on the duties of government as long as is necessary.
There's speculation that President Hudson personally funded a number of secret weapons projects of seismic proportions.
We don't comment on speculation about classified government projects or the private investments of the president.
But if they did exist, and speculation is rife about this one, and they did happen to involve giant resonant machines placed over fault lines, the president would benefit from such things?
That's speculation.
Humorous. We understand that in recent months, both the head of the Special Projects Division and Mad Magnus Cracker, the government's top seismologist, both visited Rhea.
Look, matey, we don't like what you're insinuating here, and no such people are listed in official roles for this government.
I'm sorry, not insinuating anything. Hang on, just noting something. Mad scientists don't hold official roles.
That's not what I said. I'd like to see that press pass again, please.
Sure, here.
This says second form 50 meter swimming certificate.
Oh, does it? Oh, my mistake. Terribly sorry about that.
Look, we can't have random strangers telling everyone that there are secret plans to disrupt the peaceful handover of power to a new president now, can we? Especially when there aren't. Guards, arrest this person!
You all heard that. He's trying to suppress the press. He says we can't tell anyone. It was at that point that my signal cut off and I was forcibly ejected from the system. So you heard us here first. President Hudson's office have flatly denied that there were secret plans to disrupt the peaceful handover of power and that mad scientists don't hold official roles in their government. We approached President Winter's office for comment, but it was still occupied by Hudson's staff and they hung up on us. Mark our words, Hudson's behind this and we don't expect to see him handing over the reins anytime soon.
In happier news, we all like a good celebration, our sister station, Lave Radio, has turned 11 this week. 11 years, imagine it, 11! Filled with a mixture of chit-chat, music, a bit more chit-chat, discussion, wild speculation, and interviews for the last 11 years, we here at Hutton would like to wish them all a very happy birthday. Over the years, they've seen spinning sidewinders, the coming and going of presenters and producers. They've seen Edelweiss, no relation to Eddie Lee Wise and Sons plus his daughters, also of Lave Station, bravely holding the fort with a motley crew of presenters. They've seen off attacks by the Alliance for Control of the Station and Systems, and much, much more. They've also meant that we can stay very silly, because they cover all of the serious stuff. So, keep up the good work, Lave Radio, every Tuesday night, around the same time as this show's on, that's 8:30-ish.
And before we go into the BGS roundup from Wancare, a gentle reminder By this time next week, Operation Tilt a Titan will have commenced. Which means that either A, it will all have gone a little bit HIP 22460 and everything will be on fire, broken, covered in green goo, or have a magic smoke pouring out of it. You know the kind. The magic smoke that can't be put back in again and signals things going pear-shaped. Or B, galactic forums will be rife with people upset that their playmates, the Thargoids, have gone home with their abdomens between their legs in a sulk and aren't being allowed to play anymore. Or I'll be introducing a CG to deliver sticky plasters, soothing words like there, there, and most probably other stuff to one of or other side. Or maybe all three. However, being hunting truckers and given that there's likely to be a shipwide system update sometime early in the week, we have prepared a survival guide for that short period when your ship becomes unavailable. A. The servers are going to go offline. Everyone will be grounded temporarily. Take the time to shut down your computer, remove all the dust from the inside, evict the spiders, tidy your cables. Nothing like kicking out the USB connector for your flight stick whilst being interdicted to ruin your day. Go outdoors. Listen to The Escape Velocity by Chris Jarvis. Catch up on past episodes of Hutton Orbital News at media.forthemug.com. 2. Back up your bindings. Trust us on this. 3. Step away from the F5 key. The update is likely to take hours. Those nannies, nanas, pans, nerf guns and nanites take a while to bring online. When the servers come back up again, every pilot in the galaxy is going to attempt to mash the download button at once. It will go slowly, other than for a happy few. See item 1. More escape velocity. 5. The patch notes. Go and read them. Avoid the temptation to ask the question, but what about XXXX when XXXX isn't in the patch notes? If it isn't in them, it isn't coming, no matter how hard you wish upon a star. Someone will post, OMG, what about XXXX on the forums? Airlock worthy. F? You did remember to pack up your bindings, didn't you? 6. Once the download has happened, make yourself a nice cup of tea in your Hutton mug. Everyone else will have just attempted to log in. The poor servers will be feeling a bit stressed. Some fool will put up a post saying, OMG, untested, so many bugs, crashed. They didn't read this notice. They're silly. 7. At some point, the adjudicator, he's a scary person, and his partner, the authenticator, she's mean, will settle down. Things will get back to normal. 8. Bindings. 9. There isn't a 9. Maybe keep an eye on the patch notes. 10. Familiarise yourself with how Hutton approaches bugs. Camera deployed, notepaper handy, and the bug reporting system on speed dial. Someone will put up a forum post. OMG, untested, so many bugs, crashed. And yes, they're still silly. 11? Those bindings you backed up. By this point, you'll either know you didn't need them or be seriously grateful you did. Especially when you deploy hardpoints near a Titan and realise you've just ejected all your nanite-infused mega missiles.
Things are going through somewhat of a... What do you mean I've missed Pancake Day? It's still February, isn't it? Vibe in Hutton Space this week. 6 systems are on Alvin's report, and only one system needs a bit of help. More on those stories coming up. Finally, we have a new holder of the wooden spoon, but not for the reason you'd expect. Last week's fifth lowest system, Hard to Move Epsilon Indy, lost just 2 points, falling to 34, which was enough to secure the basement spot. There's an outbreak pending in Hutton's most popular system, so stock up on meds and pre-position your fleet carriers in orbit to deliver supplies once the R number gets above zero. Next slide, system please. Narnia gained a point, rising to 35. There's no particular threat, but turbulence amongst the other factions have seen a rise at our expense. Feel free to boost Hutton's influence. Usually hovering in the low 40s, Kakaria suffered a decline in the last week and a half, leaving it sharing a perch with Narnia on 35. A civil war is locking up a fifth of influence, and we should see a rebound on the conclusion of that. Fourth worst is longtime holder of the wooden spoon, Ross 671, which unexpectedly left behind the 20s to almost reach 40 before falling back and settling on 36. Last week's pending outbreak is in full swing, so ship in meds to relieve the misery. Lastly, Barnard Star and Stein 2051 each have a cheek planted on the same naughty step on 37. The infrastructure failures in Trepin, Y0855-0714 and 36 off Yuki were all fixed in the week, so they should all fail at the same time again in a couple of months. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have just two systems above 60%, and last week we expanded to Asgarage. No, not Asfarage, that's something else. This is clearly where someone parks one's ass. Perhaps they should have called it chair. Priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, relieve the outbreak in Epsilon Indy and boost Narensis.